Hello and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. This program is a weekly program designed to look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And right now we are studying in Luke chapter 15, and today in verses 1 through 7, we're going to consider the parable of the lost sheep. The parable of the lost sheep is one that shows us just how important even one lost sinner is to our Lord Jesus. The Lord was being followed by great multitudes as he traveled about preaching and teaching. In chapter 14, in verse 25, it said that, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them." The Lord warned those who desired to be his disciples that they would have to count the cost, or they possibly might begin to follow him and later become useless. Notice now, still in chapter 14, look at verses 26 and following. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now this multitude that was following Jesus around as he did his work, this multitude included many tax collectors and sinners. Now, as we move into chapter 15 in our text, now notice verse 1. "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him." The implication is that many of the outcast and downtrodden were steadily making their way to see and hear the Lord. The Pharisees and scribes are found as they usually are. They are murmuring and constantly complaining about every good thing that Jesus does. And so, we find that they charged Jesus with receiving and eating with sinners. But in fact, they had been doing this very thing since the early days of Jesus' ministry. Let's go back to chapter 5 and notice verse 30. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And so, by the time we get now to chapter 15, we find that the Pharisees and scribes are still angry and mad because Jesus is still sitting, still eating, and still drinking with these inferior individuals by their way of thinking. And so Jesus uses this parable today, along with the parables of the lost coin and the lost boy, to answer their ridiculous charges and teach them, though most of them would not listen. So now let's consider the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now notice in verse 4. In verse 4, the Lord asked, "What man of you?" Now this is what is known as an ad hominem argument. It is a form of debate where one appeals to the opponent's acknowledged position. Jesus used this form of argument on more than one occasion against the Jewish leaders. Jesus speaks of a man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one of them. God speaks often of his love for man by using sheep. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, we read, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6, Jesus said, "But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, the Hebrew writer said, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, "For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And of course, we have the illustration of the good shepherd that we find in John chapter 10. We understand that all souls belong to the Lord God, perhaps by different ways. Some belong to the Lord by generation. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die." The 100th Psalm and verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pastures." In Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are His offspring." So some belong to the Lord God by generation and some by regeneration. Consider John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, and the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We also should consider Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Sheep become lost when they wander away from the shepherd and the fold. And a man becomes lost when he wanders away from God into sin. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, we see this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Indeed, the owner of the sheep will leave the 99 and go after the lost one. The owner's personal interest is evident by his going himself. Since it was the mission of Christ to seek and to save the lost, we see here the unity between the Father and the Son. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Jesus is using the shepherd to show us just how strong God's interest is in even one soul. Now, there is no evidence of neglect here for the 99. They would have been in their normal place of pasturing. When the owner finds the sheep, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. The sheep, like a Christian can possibly do, they wandered off on their own. The owner sought it diligently, and we must also search diligently for the lost brother. And when he found the lost sheep, he lovingly placed it on his shoulders. We should consider Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He will feed the flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lay those who are with young. The owner and the Lord rejoice when a lost sheep is recovered. Now notice something in verse 7. That when he arrives home, he begins to call his friends to rejoice with him. The Christian who has wandered off from the flock and the shepherd can return to the safety, security, and protecting arm of the Master through repentance. The rejoicing at the return is by God and Christ and the angels. Verse 10 says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." There is more joy over one sinner who repents than over many who need no repentance. The parable of the prodigal son certainly also teaches us this lesson. To repent is to leave sin and go back into communion with the Lord. So as we think about the parable of the lost sheep, there are several applications that we can take away from this. One is that God will seek the lost. Second, we see that the Lord loves the individual. Third, people wander from the Lord through neglect. And think about the lost sheep in our parable. The lost sheep knew it was lost, but that one did not know the way home. And so it is with many people who have wandered astray from the fold of God. And most certainly, the way back to God must be characterized by repentance. And finally, self-righteousness will deaden our concern for the lost. And so for us, great lessons from the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Next week, we will continue on here in Luke 15 as we pick up with the parable of the lost coin. I hope that you'll join me then. I want to thank you for being with us today, and I hope that you found our time together to be beneficial. I have certainly been encouraged by you, and if the Lord wills, we'll see you again next week at this same time here on Studies in the Gospels. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at this same time at 11 p.m. and also be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a great day.